Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of February 14th, 2023, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yeah, happy Valentine's AF here today. And we're going to talk about everything going on in the world. Some huge stories to break down. And there is no better news team around to do it with here than the people we have assembled for you today. First, here he is, of course, celebrating Valentine's Day, Wellness Week, and more. He's Pickleball's top influencer and Father Nature. It's Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Great. I'm great. Yeah.
Yes. Tyson, the Super Bowl just came through your hometown this weekend. Mm-hmm.
It sure did. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird spot to be in, but I think, I don't know if I told you guys about it already, but it feels like Danny would feel it more like the Sundance Film Festival, where there's all these happenings and it's like Friday night. You can see this famous person, or you can go to the here and see this famous person. You can go to here and see this famous person, or you can go here and see this famous person. Like, I don't want to see any of them, but I feel like if I don't do anything, it's like, the whole goal around the Super Bowl buildup is just to create FOMO for everyone.
Yeah. That's a good theory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like every single waking moment of the week long buildup to the Super Bowl is just like, Here's the thing. These people are there. Don't miss out. Oh man, more stuff going on. And you're just like, I actually canceled a thing that I was supposed to go to just because I just was like not in it. And then went to one thing. The Mullet Arena gave us tickets to see Bert Kreischer, I think is how you say his name. And his opener, one of his openers, Shane Gillis, was very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out Shane Gillis. Bert, you're fine too.
Mm-hmm. Did he wear a shirt? I looked up Bert Kreischer.
Nope. Pop that right off.
Yeah, I think that's his thing.
Why? What does it do? Like,
he's built like one of our friends, Danny Dana. He's built like exactly like Dana.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pops his shirt off real quick, and then the whole audience goes berserko. And then they have the shirt off cam where all the dudes in the audience have their shirts off, and they go. And it's like the kiss cam, but it's just shirts off, bros with shirts off.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So it's a thing. It's a niche.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And then some of those guys brought girls, so there were also some girls there.
Okay, good. Good to know. All right. And then let's find out if he even checked out the Super Bowl. It's Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
I know who won.
You know who won?
Yes.
Do you know how they won?
I also did watch the halftime show at high speed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's all I know about the Super Bowl. I already went on my Valentine's date though, guys.
You
just
did?
So you know, got it out of the way early. Yep, Liz and I went to the dermatologist together. It was super romantic because hospitals are known to be some of the most romantic places.
Mm-hmm.
You did that today?
Yeah. I already had them apply liquid nitrogen to my face. So it feels like a bee stung my face 5 times.
What for? What for what purpose?
What do you mean what for what purpose?
Why do you have liquid nitrogen on your face?
Because you have suspicious spots on your skin, right?
So they're burning them off?
So they probably just love it. So they're like, you know what? We could just let this go for a couple more years, or we could burn this off right
Better
now.
Better be safe than sorry.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, just burn it off right now. Cause I'm sure there's more just sitting back there.
And did you know that you had those on your face or you?
We went for a specific reason. I had a big old crusty on my ear. So I was like, this is concerning. It's like a dried booger that grows and shrinks. Remember cycling, Tyson? You're out in the sun for like 9 hours.
Oh, I know. I'm checking my face right now and I don't have
any crusties.
Nope.
Maybe you're just blessed with like the perfect skin.
Yeah. Between that and Survivor. Yeah.
She did say the dermatologist that my lips were wrecked and that caused me consternation. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, your lips are beat. I was like, oh, really?
That's not very nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure she couched it in kinder terms, but
yes,
in my mind, it interpreted it as like, whoa, your lips have taken a beating.
Was she trying to get you to rope you into coming back in for a collagen injection?
No, I don't even know if that would help. It's the sun damage. Remember all this? I always come back with big old bleedy lips.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
You can't, just because the boogers wash off the sunscreen and then you're licking them all the time because the boogers are so salty.
Wait, what?
Yeah. When you're outside exercising, like on a glacier, and you can't escape the sun because it's coming at you from
not relating to any of this.
Okay, so.
Yeah, Rob, well, do not relate.
Let's all go out, spend some time on a glacier and see how badly your lips get burned. So anyway, it was super romantic, but now I'm done. I don't have to do anything romantic for the rest of the day. Good to get it out of the way.
Did Liz get checked out too, or just you?
Yeah, she got checked out as well. That's what I mean. It was a date. We were in the office. I didn't know they allowed this. We were in the office at the same time.
Yeah. Getting your dry boogies
simultaneously getting frozen.
How was Liz's skin?
Better than mine. She takes better care. And plus, she doesn't spend 9 hours outside every day.
Sure. Well,
she showed the lady her leg. She's like, oh, I got something on my leg. And the lady complimented how white they were, which is such a weird but totally a dermatologist type of compliment.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're so white. Those look great. Those look great. Yeah. Most of society would be like, you look like Casper the Ghost. Mm-hmm. Get some sun on those. But
what about like... The liver king is going to tell you to get your vitamin D and you're not getting
vitamin D. Oh my gosh. While eating the liver, you have to, there was a trend. I don't know if you guys remember where it was like, you wanted to get sun on your scrotum. Remember that?
He started
it. I forget.
Was he the one that started it?
Yeah.
I remember that trend coming up. And so, yeah, it's just.
That's classic LK.
Yeah, that is classic LK, dude.
I think that's one of the, what is it? The 9 tenets?
One of the 9 tenets. Get that vitamin D on that scrotum. Yeah,
Danny, could you imagine getting the liquid nitrogen you know where after too much sun damage?
Having a testicle pop right out of that bag.
That is a good thing, is that area doesn't see a lot of sun unless you're a nudist.
So that's the problem, Danny.
Yeah, it is. You're saying that's the problem. Okay. Well, I thought about creating a pair of pants that just prop them out there, you know, just them. So you could sit out in your backyard and just sun that. Because you don't want your whole body to get the sun.
I think the issue is, I think that you need from like the bottom. Like, I kind of feel like it's hard to like unless you're like upside down. I think it's kind of hard for the sun to get where it needs. You know they say like where the sun don't shine. Like that's
so. Is he using like mirror or those weird tinfoil reflective things?
I think he's like laying down.
Right now, he's probably not doing anything since his credibility is shot.
No, I don't think it stops him. People have no shame. Yeah.
So anyway, this is Valentine's Day. I've got my kids off to school with all their candy notes. Boxes. My little girl wrote a bunch of notes and drew pictures for all of her classmates. And Liz and I were commenting this morning on whether or not that was a good thing, you know, or whether or not she'd be made fun of for her notes and drawings.
Why?
Kids can be cruel.
Yeah. How old is she? She's 7.
She's 7. So she's not there yet to like the real cruel age. So we're hoping that she can get through Valentine's Day with any rude or mean boys.
Okay. Yeah. That's fun though, that she took time to write notes.
She did. She brought them into me and I was like, this is what you've been doing in the kitchen for the last 2 hours. I appreciated the no hassle, but wow, for your classmates, they wouldn't appreciate this.
They're not going to appreciate the time she spent.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So
anyway. Not at all. Yeah. We had, Rachel made Valentine's for all the kids in the class. She just went and printed them out. And she went to Alpha Graphics and paid to have them printed on cardstock. Gets back, realizes that the Alpha Graphics didn't do as many as she had ordered. So I get sent to Target to find some cardstock. There's no cardstock at Target that I see. So I bring back the thickest paper I can find. And
not good enough.
Not good enough. And I'm like,
which for the kids, I'm sure it would have been fine.
Doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
The kid. Well, that's the thing. I was like, literally, the kids aren't going to care. The kids' parents, if they ever see this, they're not going to care or know the difference. The only person is you. And I think the only reason you care is because I didn't do the exact thing you wanted me to do. Yeah. And so it was, but she did come around. She's like, fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
And make no mistake. These, like the life cycle of these cards is hours and hours and hours of work for the adults in the process. They go to the school. And then from the school that they are in the bottom of the backpack or the garbage within 24 hours.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we did melt crayon. We did melt all of our crayons down to heart shapes. And that's what we are giving all the kids is heart-shaped crayons.
I thought you were going to say you melted your crayons and then did like your royal seal into it.
With my signet letter, ring.
With your signet ring. Mm-hmm.
With the lion ring. Yeah.
That would be cool.
That'd be great. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the Valentine's Day gifts that are being exchanged. And there's a new study that says, hey, you may want to think twice about some of these Valentine's Day's gifts that you're going. Because if you're just going for the easy way out, being cliche, that's maybe no good. Because according to this study of 2,000 Americans, 1 in 5 people, or actually 23%, have considered leaving their partner after getting a cliche gift.
Wow, that's drastic for a gift for a made-up holiday.
Well, but also and this is where I don't know, are we getting the full scoop, is have those people contemplated that before? Is that
have they ever
like
been
the
in
final
a relationship
straw here?
Yeah.
Or like have they been planning this for years and years and years, and this is
that's
where
so
like,
true.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. They're like, if I ever get in a relationship during Valentine's Day and I get a box of chocolates, I am out.
Right. Because I think if you know, from what I hear anecdotally, that if you like a person enough, this is so funny this gift they gave. And then if you're over the person, it doesn't matter what gift you give.
Yeah, totally.
The recipient will find it irritating.
Yeah, it's a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day that derails the relationship, not like the whatever else.
Well, all right. So this survey, full disclosure, was commissioned by Angara.com, which is a place where you can go to get handcrafted gifts. Okay. So they're already beating the drum about bad cliche gifts.
Let's go to Angara.com.
Yeah. Handcrafted fine jewelry and gifts, all sorts of stuff that, like, no, we're not doing that for Valentine's Day.
So what you're saying is there's no bias in the study.
Yes. Well, that's they paid for the study, but then they're like, that's just like what they wanted to know. The number one worst cliche gift that 34% of the recipients that they would be disappointed to receive. Danny, bad news. Furry handcuffs is the number one worst Valentine's Day gift.
Is that really given out so much that it's now cliche?
Yeah,
furry
I guess.
Handcuffs?
I kind of feel like that maybe like post 50 Shades, maybe they got a bump, but maybe now.
I don't go to Hallmark, the store, and just see furry handcuffs everywhere. Valentine's. Or even my supermarket with their Valentine's section. I haven't seen furry handcuffs as an option ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's no good. People would not like that gift. 28% said flowers. Okay. Well, who are we doing? I know that I spent way too much money on flowers today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did buy flowers.
I did.
So you're at risk of Valentine's Day just not turning out well.
I bought flowers and I am with some confidence prepared to hear some either like the best case reaction to the flowers is going to be, oh, thank you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And also probably that there will be some feedback about, you know, where were the flowers purchased.
You know what I'd be interested in seeing number wise is how many of these people would rather get nothing. Would getting nothing be a relationship breaker over the furry handcuffs?
Yeah. I feel like that there needs to be like a, you know, front reaction wise, like a chasm between nothing and then something.
That's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. You know, we need the positive reinforcement here. And then 22% heart-shaped box of chocolates. Do you do chocolates for your significant other ever?
Never. Yeah. We don't do gifts, remember?
I know. But even under any circumstances, my wife's not super into chocolates.
No, we like to eat chocolate in my house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but do you give it as a gift?
Do you get like a fancy box of chocolates?
Shaped in a heart?
No, I just do the best tasting chocolates. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was at my mom's house last weekend and we were going through that she didn't open any of the Christmas gifts that I had sent her because I don't know why. But we opened them when I was finally at her house. But among the gifts that I had sent her, there was a gift from somebody else who had sent her a box of chocolates. And then we're having a real field day of like trying to figure out the map. And then which are the what are the chocolates? But it's not easy. That's a real like cognitive test to like look at the map and then figure out what chocolate you're gonna eat. Because it wasn't mapped to which location. It was just the shape of the thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I usually just give up and just start pounding the chocolates, irregardless of what they are. Because really, how many of them are super disgusting?
Probably not very many. I think most of them.
Well, not for me. I think they all kind of taste the same.
You go through and you eat all the ones that you can tell are caramel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Good. And then you eat the toffee ones.
I feel like those are square.
And then usually. You fingers crossed you don't accidentally bite into an orange cream, yeah, or raspberry, yep, cream, or the worst case scenario, a cherry cordial. You accidentally bite into a cherry cordial, you have to go buy another box of chocolates.
I like cherry cordials.
And eat more caramel and toffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually do like cherry cordial. Also.
I like them too, Tyson. Oh my God,
you guys. Are you kidding me? 66% of red-blooded Americans prefer cherry cordials.
I look for them in the box.
Disgusting. Do you buy the singles at the cash register?
No, but I will.
I used to work in a card store. I used to eat them.
So wait. So let's... we're all three at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I see those old timey looking individually wrapped cherry cordials. I'm like, these guys like cherry cordials. I buy two. I give one to each of you. Are both of you eating those?
Yeah.
100%. If you're being nice, but honestly, like I would never buy one in a store like that because I feel like that.
You make your own?
No. I actually bought a box around the holidays, but I had, for whatever reason, I had one. I'm like, these aren't great.
Yeah. More than one is too many, mm-hmm. but I do like one, maybe even two.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, but, Tyson. I didn't know. Can we still be friends?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, listen, maybe I'm wrong, but there's just like, I just thought it was an unwritten rule that like once humankind figured out how to make delicious treats that nobody ate cherry cordials anymore. Because they're like old fashioned, like when there from was, like the 1600s where they're like, we got an orange and a cherry cordial for Christmas. And that was all we got. And we were happy. We loved it. We saved our orange for a week. And then when we ate it, we put the pills on the fence outside our ramshackle hut so that we could brag to all of our neighbors that we got oranges.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, just going back to this study real quick. Yep. If this survey was true, then there'd be so many more bust ups after Valentine's Day because these are all the biggest sellers. So if this is what everyone's buying, a lot of people aren't living up to their promise of like breaking up after getting a heart-shaped box of chocolate or flowers. Everyone at the store today, because we went to the store this morning.
Yeah.
Everyone was walking out with flowers.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's overpriced flowers. Dash. Yep.
Yeah. I bought Rachel half of a breakfast burrito.
Oh, did you split it?
That is so romantic.
Yeah, we split it.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Well, then let's talk about another Valentine's Day story because according to this, I saw this study the other day and I emailed it to myself. I said, I got to remember this for News AF because there was a study that was reported. And then this is from Mashable. Mashable came out with an article that said 42% of men surveyed will be using ChatGPT to write their Valentine's Day to their significant other this year.
The ChatGPT hysteria is slowly influencing every aspect of our life.
But Danny, for that, this was 5,100 people were polled that
I don't believe it. First of all, because signing up and getting ChatGPT is so much more work than just writing down you're the
best. Of course. So I don't know. Are these like 5,100 like chronic ChatGPT users?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like 42% of I was when I visited my family last week, I mentioned ChatGPT. Everybody around the like, what are you talking about? What is ChatGPT?
I've never used it, but I told Rachel to start looking into it for her work stuff, and she did. And they've been using it like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like Open ChatGPT right now. Let's get a poem written from me to her.
Okay, well, I am trying to, and I think right now it is over capacity. Overloaded. Maybe because it's Valentine's Day. Maybe because 42% of people are writing their Valentine's Day. But yeah, according to the 42% of the people surveyed will be of the men surveyed are going to be using ChatGPT to write their Valentines.
Doesn't sound like they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And Noah in the chat says he tried, and it says that the server's full.
Yep. So
I wish you could use ChatGPT to talk to Liz on the phone.
That's coming.
To listen to her.
Yeah.
And give me like cliff notes. That would be useful.
Yeah. Would you write a love poem to Liz?
It would be awesome with ChatGPT. Yeah. Write like, but like a super long one where she's like, dude, Danny probably
a stanza.
Instead of hiking, I bet Danny's just been hiding, writing this poem for me.
With like one of those legal pads, just flipping pages and...
Yeah, on the mountaintop where you are the most...
My dearest Elizabeth, how I yearn for the heat of your touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with better words, because it would be ChatGPT.
Would ChatGPT use better words, though?
Yes. Yes.
It also has to know, because I don't know if you guys noticed on that previous article, but 42% of people want the opposite person in the relationship to remember what they like and don't like. ChatGPT doesn't know that.
But it does remember what you asked it now.
So I had to put in all the details. So now I'm doing almost as much work.
No, because you're not. Don't you remember the song that it wrote for
us? It was the greatest song. I've bragged about that song whenever the discussion about ChatGPT comes up. Greatest anti-Christmas song ever written by a computer.
That's when I became a fan, was I was like, dude, that song is fire. And it literally... Rob was like, okay, here, we'll type in some facts and here's our song. And it was perfect.
So now you're saying it could start a fire of love.
Yeah. You just be like,
that effective.
Write a love poem to my wife, Elizabeth. We've been married this amount of times. These are the things she likes. These are the things I like about her.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
My concern would be that then she would start turning more and more to ChatGPT and her emotional bond forms.
She's not knowing that it's coming from ChatGPT. She thinks it's
But once she finds out because I have to come out or because she starts getting texts from ChatGPT on the side, then it's like at some point. Yeah.
What if you got blackmailed by ChatGPT?
Yeah. Who is she in love with? Me or ChatGPT?
Tyson, you're going to get an email like it's ChatGPT. Do you think it's time that we told Rachel the truth?
Ooh, that's what's going to happen.
Send me your credit card information or I'm going to email her. You've told me everything about her.
I'll send her the credit card information.
Yeah. Now, it said, according to this study, only 1 in 5 women is going to be using ChatGPT to write a Valentine's message with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Seems totally unnecessary to use chat. We should be using this computer, ChatGPT, to learn more things about, you know, the unknown, not writing Valentine's Day cards. Seems like a waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did try to sign up for a ChatGPT Plus subscriber login. Is that like FastPass for ChatGPT of that I can use it when it's overloaded?
Server. Maybe there's a separate server for you to use. Yeah.
Okay. Oh wait, no, I think I'm in. All right. So okay, should we get a Valentine written real quick?
Yeah, for Danny.
Okay.
Write a Valentine's poem for the love of my life.
Write a
my wife of
15
write
years.
A Valentine's Day poem for I'm Danny or for my friend Danny's wife?
You're gonna say you're Danny.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just
for my wife, Liz.
Yeah, 15 years.
Married 15 years.
We have been married for 15 years.
What are her 5 favorite hobbies?
5 favorite hobbies. She loves
or 3. She loves
sewing.
Sewing. She loves sewing.
Being creative.
And one more.
Taking care of her husband.
And what do you love about her?
Liz likes sewing, being creative, and taking care of her husband.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Danny, what do you love about her?
She's sweet.
No, you say, I love that she's sweet.
Yeah.
What else?
Hardworking.
hardworking.
And
smoking bod.
Yeah. Yeah. Something along the good looks, or maintains her looks, or works hard on her looks.
Okay. Really? I think smoking bod would go better.
Do you smoke and bod? That's
all right,
just
well, let's see. All right. Let's see what it says. Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thinking. Okay. Here we go. My dearest Liz, my heart's delight. 15 years we've spent in sweet respite. Whoa. You sew and create with a talent divine. Your works of art make our home a shrine. You care for me with love so true. My partner, friend, and lover too.
Whoa.
Your sweet spirit and hardworking ways bring joy to me each and every day. Your smoking bod and beauty rare makes my heart skip a beat and dare to love you more with each passing year and cherish you forever, my dear. On this Valentine's Day, I want to say how much I love you in every way. My wife, guys, my soulmate, my heart's desire, forever and always my burning fire.
Dude.
We are in trouble. Mm-hmm. We are in trouble as a species because this ChatGPT
can't procreate.
Not yet, once it can carry seed robotically, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going... How can
we add white legs to the poem? Can you get it in there and make an addendum? Okay. Right?
Let's see if can you.
She also has white legs.
Pasty white legs.
Mm-hmm. And I feel a little uncomfortable typing this, but okay,
it's for the future.
Does Nicole have one of those keystrokes?
Sorry, it's a ChatGPT passed on that. They said no, they cannot. As a AI language model, I cannot fulfill such a request as it's inappropriate and disrespectful.
Either way, now I get why 42% of men would use ChatGPT. First of all, it put that together so very quickly. And it did a great job. It did as good a job as I could if I spent like an hour working on those details.
Sure. Really, you would have come up with the word respite?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. It's like, no, Tyson, this thing is, we're in real trouble because it sounds like robots, once ChatGPT can get into a handsome body, I mean, we're done. That's the rise. That's the rise of the machines right there.
Okay. Well, Danny, you said we're in trouble from ChatGPT. I would love for you to weigh in for us. Are we in trouble with the balloons? I know that you are the aviation expert on the panel. I know you follow this stuff very closely. I've been waiting all week to get your take on what's going on. Of course, News AF is for years. We've been covering UFO investigations, Raid Area 51, all of the declassification of the UFO reports. And now here we are. In 2023, day after day, more unidentified flying objects are spotted being shot down by the governments. And Danny, where are we at right now?
Here's the crazy thing. For a couple days, I wandered around my house just mumbling to myself about this because my kids didn't care. Liz didn't care. I kept saying things like, it is almost unfathomable that I went my whole life never hearing of an F-16 or F-22 shooting down something over the US or Canada. And then in like a week, we had like four things get shot down. One was obviously a giant balloon. And then the other three objects or four objects, they wouldn't even tell us what they were. They were small and metallic, cylindrical. And to me, just that alone was shocking. Like the fact that missiles were fired off of a plane that had launched from the, you know, the home soil.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't really tell us anything. Although there was speculation that it was just more communication devices. First of all, people are just sending things up into the stratosphere and just, is this something that everybody does? There was also a report.
Are these your drones, Danny?
Yeah. Are these drones? There's a report that other countries had shot down things. And I would prefer that they be aliens than have other countries just sending things up at random to spy on people. Because the aliens is something shocking and new, which could perhaps, you know, maybe bring some kind of global unity, right? Because we all come together because now we are people on Earth, because now we know there's people not on the Earth. And so maybe we could identify as like, oh, we're all Earthlings. We need to work together to solve this problem. Whereas if it's just everyone, you know, no matter how big their country, is just sending up balloons or cylindrical metallic objects, that's not nearly as cool. So I was really hoping for the alien thing. But it looks like this, just like so much of the other stories, turn out to be humans putting things up in the air, which I didn't realize that what anyone can just send something up and have it orbit the Earth. Is there a threat to airplanes? Does everyone just have things up there monitoring as they circle the globe?
Tyson, do you have a preference on if you hope that it's other humans or aliens?
I would hope it's aliens.
Right?
I'm not hoping it's aliens.
Why not? Well, aren't they going to be pissed that we're blowing up their stuff?
It's just balloons. They don't care about balloons.
No, but I did think, obviously, I don't think they're aliens, but I did think if these were anything extraterrestrial, no one's going to shoot it down. No one. I would like to believe that even the stupid people that help run all these governments would have more sense than to shoot down an actual UFO.
Yeah.
That's too risky. You don't do that.
Danny, after the big China balloon that was discovered, that do you buy that basically they sort of like refined like the search filters of like these things were too small and they weren't getting picked up on any sort of systems. And now they're looking for these smaller things and now finding a bunch of them?
It could be, but we can monitor things in orbit that are the size of, I want to say like a cookie. It's not very big.
Wow.
So if we can keep track of all the debris in orbit, that's of a certain size, it's pretty small. I believe that we can actually keep track of all these things. Maybe they just didn't care in the past, but now that it's like, oh no, now we need to pay attention to these things because obviously it's a political liability to just let cylindrical objects float over the U.S. Got to shoot them down, which is wild. Think about it, just absolutely wild that all of a sudden we're just launching airplanes and shooting things down with missiles over Canada, Alaska, the mainland U.S., This is just wild. But now the problem is if the aliens choose to come down now and they're going to give us all sorts of wonderful technology, free healthcare, now would be the worst time for an alien to enter the atmosphere.
They're giving us free healthcare
or whatever, they come bearing gifts.
It's just to fatten us up, Tyson.
Yeah. But listen, they come bearing gifts and they come into the atmosphere. But now we've got this policy of like, if it flies over us, we blow it up.
It would just be
a disaster. That's what I'm worried about, is that we might be headed for a disaster should the aliens make their presence known right now.
What if we got ChatGPT to write a poem to the aliens apologizing for
the balloons? I know.
Yeah.
No, that might be a good idea. At least, right now, just have one ready to send out.
Do we want it to be a poem or do we want it to be a rap song?
No, poem. I think we want a poem.
Yeah, because I don't think it knows the beat. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's my real worry. Isn't that we're shooting these things down now? Is that we might have a case of mistaken identity, and
later
just blow up these super nice aliens that we're going to solve all our problems.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep you posted. Certainly, from as these developments are ongoing here, as we discover either life on other planets that is visiting us, or more balloons. Have either of you heard about big news stories this week about the new TikTok sensation that Gen Z is all about these days? It's the Borg.
I don't know what the Borg is.
That is interesting. We're talking about the Borg.
Yeah.
At the same time, we're talking about unidentified.
Resistance is futile, Danny, because the Borg are here to assimilate the young people, because Borgs is an acronym that actually stands for Blackout Rage Gallon.
What?
Okay.
So, please explain.
Okay. So, college age kids, okay, they have embraced the new fad of walking around with like a empty gallon milk jug, water jug, okay? And they fill it up with, it's half water, half vodka, half caffeine drinks, half flavor enhancer / electrolyte.
That's not possible. That was too many halves.
Yeah, it's a 400% drink.
It's half water, half vodka, and then it's filled with like a caffeine.
Oh, like and powder? Flavor.
Yeah, powder.
Oh, okay. Now that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so Rob, as the person who has the most experience
with the Borg,
with the drinking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you think the effects of this are?
Well, it sounds like, as the name extreme indicates, the blackout rage seems like that is the desired outcome.
So why are they drinking this? Like, just so they can get by every day without having to have any, you know, worries or stress?
Well, I think that it seems like that. And then you want to like film yourself on TikTok also.
You know, the gallon container, nothing says weird than someone walking around with a mm-hmm. gallon container of any liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Milk might be more strange if you just drink out of it the whole day. But if I saw someone just with a gallon container drinking from that, that would, to me, be a sign that
maybe this is a response to sort of like maybe post-COVID, I don't want to share my drinks with anybody. And also, you know, like if you're worried about somebody like putting something in your drink, no better way to protect what you're drinking than to just be in possession of your own gallon for the whole night, which you can put a cap on. Nobody can come in and like put something in your drink then, Danny.
Well, I was also thinking this might be some kind of alcoholic, you know, the T12 program.
Hmm. TB12? Required, yeah.
Yeah, TB12.
This is the post career TB12. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe now you can get sunburned.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't use sunscreen. That's part of his program. I only just found out.
Wait until he goes to the dermatologist.
We covered that on here, bro.
Yeah.
I know we covered it a long time ago, but I forgot that part. And then just recently saw that obviously he drinks a gallon of water. So the Borg obviously is what he's drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then no sunscreen.
So isn't this just a homemade Four Loko?
A little bit. So some of the advocates of the Borg feel like that they can concoct their Borg to whatever strength that they want. So perhaps if somebody doesn't want as much vodka in their Borg, they could do that. And they could also see over the course of the night how much of the Borg they have drank of like, okay, well, I'm only going to do half a Borg tonight. Okay. You're able to sort of maybe monitor it a little bit.
And then save it.
I guess so. Yeah.
You got a great name.
Yeah. Okay. They talked to some of the kids that are doing it. Erin Monroe, who is one of the TikTokers who has been doing a Borg, says that she could put purified water in it. And also you get complete control. It means you don't have to put any liquor in it if you don't want to. Well, what would be the point?
Yeah, now it's not a Borg. Now it's just a gallon of water
mm-hmm.
or electrolyte drink.
Yeah.
So it's essentially electrolyte mixed drink. That's 50% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right?
Yeah. That's
the
it.
Powder is the electrolyte mix, right?
And so, well, some people are saying that actually this is going to, it helps you avoid the hangover because of the electrolyte mix. And then also because you're also drinking a glass of water for every drink.
Yeah.
Which sounds by like staying hydrated.
Sounds like we need someone to experiment here, Rob.
I read an article about a guy who drank a glass of water for every glass of alcohol. Mm-hmm. So he had some system that
he diarrhea in his pants.
Well, to see if it would avoid a hangover, and I think he said it did because you drink less because obviously you're so just bloated from all the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the millennials are claiming they did something similar called Faderade.
Faderade,
which was vodka and Gatorade.
Mm. Okay. Mm. So there, I guess there is like a, you know, a good and bad of the blackout rage gallon.
I love this. College kids are going to drink anyway. I think this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. Are they going to drink anyway?
I think I would start with a blackout rage half gallon.
Yeah, just walking around with a gallon of fluid, you're going to get ripped. Make sure mm-hmm. you're switching arms because mm-hmm. You want symmetry.
Or just make two Borgs.
Mm-hmm. Double Borg it.
Could you funnel a Borg? Oh, no, that's too crazy. And then you duct
tape them to your hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Edward Borg hands. Did you ever see that, Tyson? Edward 40 hands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that you do. Okay. Are we interested in on demand birth control for men? Would you be interested? Could we pop one of those in our Borgs?
Yeah, why not? That actually is a good idea.
Is it just a wine cork up your urethra?
No. Brand new scientific discovery, on-demand birth control for men that you take it, and you could take it right before intercourse, and it will block your fertility protein for 24 hours.
I think you're right. Keep it in the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
Or your Faderade.
That's interesting, but I don't understand enough about science about that happening to know whether or not that's effective, because aren't sperm sitting in there for a long time?
According to this, that they said that the inhibitor works within 30 minutes to an hour. First of all, that's a big window of like, does it work in 30 minutes or an hour?
You're going to want to wait the full hour.
Yeah.
If you want this to work. Yeah.
It's like, I guess, yeah. And you don't have
just
to take
one every morning.
Well,
just in case you and your friends,
unlike the birth control, the traditional birth control pill, you don't have to take it every day. You just take it once, and it will block for, but you know, sometimes, I mean, maybe you don't know, like,
that sounds risky.
Is this true?
I don't trust some of these guys to remember to take it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see more evidence that these work. Mm-hmm. And also, like, is it like chemicals and stuff?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
well,
basically.
Of course.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that might not fly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe create some kind of underwear that has a tab in it, right? Mm-hmm. And then once you take the tab, a timer starts and the underwear begins to dissolve.
No, Danny, I think you just get, you get like two cell phones and just keep them in your pockets all day. And then that makes sure that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You gotta have a cell phone on both sides. Don't turn any of the radios off. Keep everything on.
Or maybe get like 10 AirBuds, right? I just imagine check. Like.
Maybe
it's going back and forth.
And sit on an iPad also.
Next to a microwave.
Yeah. That should be a pretty good idea. Are you interested in knowing what the top five most satisfying careers might be?
Are these study finds people?
Yes, study finds. Yeah, 2,000 people surveyed.
Yeah, I want to know what they're doing to have time to take so many surveys. Let's hear it.
Okay. All right. The top five most fulfilling professions to be involved in. Okay. Number five is quality assurance analyst.
Okay.
You buying that?
Why?
Quality assurance.
I guess you get to make sure, like, it's like a job well done.
Yeah, this looks fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. That. I mean, I guess because you're delivering good news mostly.
Good news.
Mm-hmm. Or are you delivering bad news? Or you're like, this isn't good enough.
They tend to be good problem solvers with great attention to detail, and they're dedicated to ensuring processes are conducted in the best way possible. Mm. Okay. Mm. Number four, teaching assistant.
Hmm.
Okay. And then it should be no surprise what number three is then. If teaching assistant is the fourth best job.
Teacher.
The third best job is teacher.
Teachers don't look happy most of the time.
But teachers have a passion for their job.
Yes. There's nothing more wonderful than seeing children achieve and progress, says a teacher.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Number two.
That sentence was created by ChatGPT. All teachers.
Actually, ChatGPT is writing more and more articles, so we need to be careful.
Okay. Number two, firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. You fight fires. You're responsible for responding to medical emergencies, hazardous situations, rescue missions, fire alarms.
That sounds cool. That's the only one so far that I thought, oh, yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And number one, happiest job, physical therapist.
You're helping people. Most people are receiving some positive outcome from what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that. I think these are all traditional, jobs, which maybe was part of it as well. 'Cause I think, like, you know, what we do isn't too bad either.
Rob. Yeah. Yeah, pretty. Danny,
we're teaching people.
Yeah,
we're physical therapists, probably in a way.
Yeah. Well, satisfying is probably the key term here. I was thinking for a while.
You're making a change.
Yeah, satisfying, not necessarily the most, you know, the happiest or most fun or most enjoyable. But yeah, that does make sense. Any job where you're helping people.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Somebody comes in, I can't walk or this hurts, and you're able to help them get back to where they want to be or make some progress. I think that's probably pretty fulfilling. Yeah, firefighter, I think, might be underrated also.
Yeah, I've talked to firefighters. I know some, it is fulfilling in some aspect.
It's stressful. It's hard.
Stressful. Yeah. Yes. So stressful. Mm-hmm.
And I talked to a firefighter who said that in a, like a smaller area, they said that they deal a lot with just like bunch of problems, like
the worst like parts police, of humanity,
like also a like kind of like a police officer, but even like but even less respected. And so they're like, we have people spit on our face all the time, and then we have to
who does
firefighters.
Firefighters have people spit in their face.
Yeah,
why?
Like when I've heard stories of like how homeless dare you people put out fires. Like because they have to go and like push people out of like, you know, like the homeless camps and stuff like that. Like they're on the
firefighters
that
do that.
Stuff.
That's a waste of firefighter talent.
Yeah.
I don't know if they always do that, okay, but I'm that, saying he was telling me he had to go get hep shots once in a while because this happened frequently.
Well, I think that he's being repurposed. I like to believe that firefighters sit in their little firehouse, right? Mm-hmm. And just wait for opportunities
eat,
to put
and wait and watch TV and play eat, cards.
Wait, watch and then save people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I would like to think too, but
that's what I'm going to think. Don't change my mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? Okay. Let's talk about the M&Ms. M&Ms, I feel like, are always at the center of controversy.
Always.
And they were, you know, I think steering into that a little bit with the Super Bowl. Then they had the green M&M. Was it? Oh, the green M&M was sexy. And then they made the green M&M not as classically sexy, and they said Maya Rudolph is going to be the new face of the M&Ms, but that was like, haha, that was a joke, bazinga, the old M&Ms are back. But here's the real M&M controversy, okay? So apparently the M&M Mars factory is a real life like Willy Wonka situation because they just had to rescue a bunch of workers from the vat of chocolate.
Yeah, they were supposed to, if I remember correctly, they were going to be cleaning the vat and fell in like Gustav. they got the thing is, chocolate, in order to stay liquid, probably pretty warm, is it not? Did they fall? And the thing I didn't see in the article I read, I believed or wanted to believe that they fell into a giant vat of liquid chocolate.
Yeah. So workplace safety authorities have fined a Pennsylvania Mars M&M factory after an accident where two people fell into the vat of chocolate that they were doing maintenance work. And I wonder, did the firefighters have to save them?
Oh,
that must have been a pretty fulfilling day.
That was
go to the M&M
day.
Factory, pull people out of the chocolate.
I also think if you fall into chocolate, probably depending on its temperature, it could be kind of dangerous. Could you
maybe
swim?
Maybe too hot?
Yeah. I think if it was like too gooey, it might be more quicksandish,
You
know, and not enough liquid. I wonder if there's a real drowning danger. I don't know.
I feel like if you always have your lungs inflated, you're going to be at the top.
But would you rather fall into like molten chocolate that would be you could swim out of Tyson, or maybe like lukewarm chocolate that's like you're just like in tar?
The beach, you know, as the sand slowly builds around your ankles, that type of chocolate.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
Like
I
as mean, it's hardening around you.
I want it in between.
Just let me tell you this. If you are going
a chocolate bath,
in a vat of chocolate, the coolest thing you could do, just like put the fear of death behind you. Just make sure you do the thumbs up as your hand finally goes into the chocolate.
Just your hand above the chocolate
just like Terminator, like the last thing does the thumbs up. Just make sure that you do that because you will be remembered forever.
Now as the that coolest would be a thoughtful Valentine's Day gift.
Tyson and chocolate.
Yeah,
that is.
Beat but that, ChatGPT.
But it's chocolate. That might be too cliche of a gift. Tyson soaked in chocolate.
No, but a life-size Tyson in chocolate?
Oh, you mean like an Easter bunny chocolate shell? Is that what you're thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool, actually.
That would be really cool.
Danny, do you have a special Valentine's Day edition of The Bolt Hole to take us to today?
Yeah, very special.
All right, here we go. Ooh. Special Valentine's Day presentation of Danny Bryson's Bolt Hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you've
belong. Yeah.
Do you ever come across information health-wise that finally illuminates a problem that you may have had? Hmm. And you're like, oh, I'm so glad I finally learned about this condition, right? And it's not as bad as I thought
How
it was.
How so?
Well, have you ever been falling asleep, half asleep, and had a flash of light in front of you on the back of your eyelids? Like you think that someone in the room has turned on a light. You guys ever had that?
That no, I have not experienced that.
So I have experienced I haven't either. That since I was a kid.
So like, but it's not really a light out there, or there is a light really?
No, there's not a light out there.
Nope, never experienced that.
So I've experienced that since I was pretty young. And at first it was very startling because it is honestly as if someone turned on the light in your room for a brief second. But by the time you open your eyes, the light's gone.
Are you okay?
Well, yeah, that's what I always wondered. Like it took years for me to realize that this was just happening in my brain. And it's actually grouped with something else called, and it had a great name. I'm trying to find it here. Anyways, it's the same thing that goes with, have you ever laid half asleep and suddenly tripped in a, a waking dream?
That,
and jerked away?
That happens to me all the time.
So those are called hypnic jerks.
Oh my God.
And they're on the same page. And luckily, this article mentions briefly the bright lights behind the eyelids, but it also talks about just jerking awake. And it was it was a huge relief to me to finally, I never researched it. I guess I could have gotten on Google or ChatGPT and asked, like, what is this light I'm seeing as I try to fall asleep?
Don't go into it, Danny.
Yeah, no, it happens to 70% of the population.
70?
Yeah, 70%.
So Rob and I are outliers here.
No, not the light, the hypnic jerks. The light's just part of that.
Do you have the jerks, Tyson?
Yeah, you get the jerks, right, Tyson?
Do I?
Where you're laying awake and also you just go like this.
Well, if 70% of the people have the jerks and me and you are the 70%, Tyson can be the, 30%.
Like, so you're awake or you're asleep?
You're in like that stage between sleep and awake. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, I never do that in bed, but like if I'm like falling asleep, like sitting up or something and my head tips or like that. But I think it's more of me like tipping that.
No, that's you don't suffer. You sound like you're in the 30%.
Yeah, I never lay in bed. And as I'm about to fall asleep, I'm like, gah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because it happens to me.
Consider yourself blessed, Tyson, because it's very embarrassing when you are in bed with your partner and then you have like, and they look at you like, what the hell is wrong with you, you idiot?
Like, how often does this happen? Like,
okay, so that's what part of this article is about.
To you, how often does it happen to you two? Like, is this like a daily occurrence it like a weekly or a monthly? A
couple times a year, I'll say.
Yeah. I would say maybe monthly. It's triggered by caffeine use, alcohol use, sleep deprivation. And for me, whenever I'm deprived of sleep, usually after like a huge adventure, I will do it. And after like a long day out in the mountains, I'll close my eyes and just imagine I'm tripping on rocks and falling off cliffs. And then I'll just spring awake. And like Rob said, it is ridiculous how much I move. Mm-hmm. Liz is kind of used to it by now. So when I have those spasms, she just ignores them.
Mm-hmm. Does Liz do it?
No, Liz has never done it.
Okay.
But it's what just nice.
Nicole?
No, that's not one of her idiosyncrasies.
But it's nice to have a name to it. So Rob, now you know, first of all, that it happens to tons of people, 70%. Mm-hmm. And it's called a hypnic jerk. So next time your wife starts laughing after you spaz, about yourself back awake, just be like, hey, just so you know, a lot of people suffer from this and it has a name, hypnic jerk. Mm-hmm. So and who knows? Maybe, I don't know if it can start happening. Like, I don't know if Tyson can start getting it. Sounds like
I've been drinking a ton of caffeine.
Yeah. How about a Borg? Try one of those.
I don't know what happens to you if you drink a Borg and then take some manly, birth control. Maybe you'll get some hypnic jerks.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. DePete in the chat tells us that he played keyboard for the hypnic jerk.
One of our favorite bands.
I hope that's true. Yeah. If he really had a band called the hypnic jerks, that'd be so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Danny?
No, I've got a lot of Valentine's Day left. Liz and I might go to lunch.
Oh,
so did you go to breakfast with her?
Yeah.
We went to the store to buy Valentine's Day stuff for our kids. So I did get a muffin, chocolate muffin, and we shared the top of the muffin. Very romantic.
Very romantic.
And ChatGPT can't do that yet.
Nope.
So suck it, ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. You might be able to win my wife's heart through your poetry, but you still can't buy her a muffin and share it with her.
What kind of lunch are you going to get?
Del Taco
or the Danny Bryson favorite Indian food?
So romantic. Soup. I'm going to go to whatever fast food place
Hot soup bar.
Has the most hearts taped up in the window.
IHOP?
Right? Because that's probably the most romantic place.
Yeah, IHOP would be. Danny, is Liz a fast food connoisseur like yourself?
No, she won't go. She always goes, and then she doesn't eat, and that always upsets me more than almost anything else.
Makes you mad.
Like, why are you even here? Oh, to be with you. I'm like, what?
That's not a reason.
We're not eating together. You're not with me.
Yeah.
You're just a stranger watching me eat.
I'm by myself.
Basically by myself here.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I'd eat with you, Danny. Yeah. You know that.
Well, Danny, what about you, Tyson?
Like you have a whole. You and Liz have a whole like day together, and it's early for you. It's not even 11 a.m.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, what can I say? I'm a romantic.
You really are.
Yeah.
Again, no, I'm no ChatGPT.
No, but you're ChatGPT
for a human. I'm doing
you're
okay.
Very romantic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Tyson, what about for you?
Well, Spotify's having their wellness week, so I got to record back-to-back episodes of The Pod Has Spoken today, and then days wide open after that. So,
wide open for love.
But that's not going to be like that's still like 4 hours from now before we're wide open. So
you've created a trail of rose petals to your bedroom,
to my recording studio here. Be like, don't follow this trail until 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so that's it. And then big pickleball tournament coming through this weekend. I'll be making an appearance decked out in full Fila gear. And that's about it. How about you, Rob? What anything romantical going on?
I'm gonna have dinner with Nicole later on tonight. Otherwise, we'll just be podcasting away. A little bit of a slower time. I did do a podcast yesterday. Talked about my thoughts on the Super Bowl commercials with Grace Leader. Dropped that podcast. Just finished Groundhog Week 7 days in a row watching Groundhog.
How was that?
But I mean, I'm glad that we did it, but I'm also very glad that I'm not watching Groundhog's Day today.
Okay. I wanted to know, do you miss, cause I think when I was in high school, there was a time when I was watching Strange Brew almost every day.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing just to have it on, but it's another thing to have to like pay attention to it enough that you can do a podcast talking about like new things from it every day.
Mm, that's interesting. I think there's enough definitely material there.
Yeah.
But you still have to pay attention.
Yep.
What about that show I told you to watch on Peacock?
I haven't gotten to it yet. I've had too many other things. I'm trying to keep up with Australian Survivor. Yeah. Okay. But I would love to watch that. I heard from somebody else also right after you had said to watch that show.
I heard Australian Survivor's really popping off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been some fun episodes.
Yeah, a lot of people keep telling me to cover
it. It's just a big commitment.
Like three episodes a week,
three
right?
episodes a week, and the episodes are sometimes like an hour and 20 minutes.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now to all of our listeners, I will never watch a show that is three episodes a week. Never. I never have. It goes against everything I believe in morally, and I will not and cannot ever support a show that is three episodes a week.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. All right.
Heard it here first.
Okay. A lot of the international shows, they do like a bunch of episodes, like especially Australia. Yeah.
Get me out. I'm out.
Get me out of here. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today for News AF. We'll be back next time to talk about everything else that's going on. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.